The Tampa Bay Buccaneers fall to 3-4 after being upset by the Carolina Panthers 21-3. The offense is a disaster, and I'll tell you what the biggest problems they have right now are coming up right now. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. And we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, flying solo on this postcast episode live on YouTube. And of course, you can check out everything that I'm doing over at BucsNation.com. Check out my co-host David Harrison over at BucsGameDay.com and follow everything on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, and at DHarrison82. This episode is brought to you by Prediction Strike, the world's first sports stock market. You can now invest in professional athletes just like stocks. It's a lower risk alternative to sports betting, and athlete prices move based on performance and supply and demand. If you invested in Jalen Hurts a year ago, you'd be up 48.2%. Kyle Pitts is down 44.12%, and I can't imagine too many Buccaneers are giving you a positive return on investment at the moment. 2.5% trade fees, lowest money in real sports. You can invest in four different sports, not just the NFL, but also UFC and NBA and MLB. Download the Prediction Strike app and use code LOCKED for a free share when you sign up and make a first deposit of $20 or more. That's promo code LOCKED for a special one-time giveaway. That's right. Prediction Strike will choose one person who signs up with code LOCKED and make a deposit to win 100 free random shares that could be worth up to $3,000 if you get lucky and receive Josh Allen shares. Invest in what you know on Prediction Strike, the stock market for sports. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers fall to 3-4 after losing to the Carolina Panthers. Yes, the Panthers, who are on their fourth string quarterback. The Panthers that just traded away Robbie Anderson. The Panthers that just traded away Christian McCaffrey. The Panthers that didn't have J.C. Horn. And the Buccaneers lose to them without ever getting in the end zone. But thank goodness they kicked that field goal on fourth and goal to save the shutout, right? Right? Am I right? Yeah. Joshua Gardner, longtime listener of the show, in the chat said, what a flaming cow patty that was. And then Josh also says, Todd Bowles is the biggest issue, not cut out for the gig. The team had zero fire, just like Bowles. JJ Cohen, Father Time is undefeated and looks old. We're going to get to the Father Time stuff a little bit later on. But the Buccaneers 0-for-1 in the red zone. That's right. One trip into the red zone against the worst defense in the NFL, the 28th scoring defense in the NFL. And yet the Buccaneers get into the red zone one time. Big reason for that, 2-for-12 on third downs, 1-for-3 on fourth downs. Mike Evans, unlike last week, finally got some targets. He led the team with 15 targets, led the team with 9 receptions, led the team with 96 receiving yards. But you go back to the opening drive when Mike Evans drops a walk-in 65-yard touchdown pass. He bobbled it, tried to recover. For whatever reason, a completely and totally uncovered Mike Evans doesn't walk into the end zone on that pass. And you kind of wonder how much did that set the tone for the day. If the Buccaneers score on that touchdown, all of a sudden, the offense is clicking right out of the gate, finally getting a touchdown on their opening drive. Tom Brady is in the zone. Mike Evans is in the zone. The Panthers' defense is dejected. But instead, the Buccaneers punt the ball away, and you have a nothing-to-nothing battle for the majority of the first half. One of the other big problems is the fact that the Carolina Panthers outrushed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 173 yards to 46. 60 of those yards came on one run by Deonta Foreman when he was able to get to the second level quickly and there was no one there to stop him. That Antoine Winfield Jr. injury where he left the game probably plays into that a little bit, but you go back to the offense. I'm not going to put this loss on the defense. I understand that they gave up three touchdowns, but the defense was doing everything that you wanted them or needed them to do. They were forcing three and outs. They were forcing punts. They were getting stops on third down. The offense didn't live up to their end of the bargain. Punt, 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 punt. Turnover on downs. Punt, 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 punt. It's inexcusable. You can only ask the defense to do so much before you need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get points on the board. Tom Brady looked bad. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke. He was leaving passes short. Three straight incompletions after getting to first and goal when they settled for the field goal. All of those passes were short. There was some miscommunication with receivers on a couple of occasions. One of them was with Russell Gage on that same drive where Gage kind of slowed down on the route and Brady led him like he was going to go full speed out of his cut. Mike Evans slowed down on a route where, you know, Brady thought he was going to continue to go. Miscommunication happens. But constantly throwing the ball 2 yards past the line of scrimmage on second and third and long is not getting the job done. Throwing the ball at the feet of receivers is not getting the ball done or getting the job done. And you take a look at what the Buccaneers did in this game with the offensive line, and they started playing guard by committee, which, as we all know, is always a recipe for success. Let's start Luke Getteke. Let's pull him in the first half and bring in Nick Leverett. And at that point, the protection seemed to get a little bit better. Maybe not the running lanes, but the protection was a little bit better. Then we're going to come out in the second half, and we're going to put Luke Getteke back out there. Oh, and then we're going to pull him again, and we're going to bring Nick Leverett back in. You need to pick one. The offensive line is all about cohesion. And for some of you longtime listeners, longtime viewers, you know, Joshua Gardner, I know you're going to know exactly where I'm going with this. The offensive line is like an orchestra. Every spot needs to trust that the other ones are going to do their job and do it on time. When you're moving guys in and out constantly throughout a game, that cohesion isn't there. That trust isn't there. No, Luke Getteke and Nick Leverett are not Ali Marpet. Ali Marpet is not walking in that door, and the Bucs are not going to get someone this season that can play anywhere close to the level that Marpet did. But what you have to do for the success of this offense is you need to pick one of these players, either Leverett or Getteke, and you need to stick with them the rest of the way. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, it doesn't matter. Because this offense is going to continue to stall if you're trying to play offensive line by committee. It does not work. That was just one of the big problems with the offense on Sunday. We're going to dive in to the other glaring issue for the Bucs, and it isn't even somebody that's on the field. But first, whether you're looking to pop the question, have a milestone to celebrate, or want to let your love sparkle, Blue Nile can help you make your celebrations even more memorable. As the original online jeweler, Blue Nile offers the largest selection of independently graded diamonds and pieces priced significantly below traditional retailers. If you're looking for a piece of fine jewelry to commemorate a special milestone, but still having trouble choosing, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. My 15-year anniversary is right around the corner. I've been working to find that perfect thing for my wife, thanks to my friends over at Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with Blue Nile. Go to BlueNile.com and use code LOCKEDON to save $50 on your purchase of $500 or more. That's BLUENILE.com. Code LOCKEDON to save $50 on your purchase of $500 or more. BlueNile.com, code LOCKEDON. Coming back here on the postcast episode live on YouTube here of the Locked On Bucks podcast. And I know you guys are talking in the chat. I haven't been able to get to everybody. Viper, stop blaming Brady. I'm not blaming Brady, but Brady has not been good. There's a lot of blame to go around. I'm not putting it all on the shoulders of Tom Brady, but he is not helping the situation by missing wide open players or throwing at players' feet. He's not immune to criticism, and he hasn't played well, whether that's because of his issues with the offensive line and not getting the protection that he's used to, whether it's off-field things that he is unable to compartmentalize and focus on the task at hand. Brady has not been the Brady that we've seen the last two seasons in Tampa, and there's no getting around that. But it's not solely on Tom Brady's shoulders that they are, you know, struggling offensively. Everybody is to blame. Nobody is playing up to the level that they are capable of playing, both on offense and on defense. I said in last week's postcast that I was starting to wonder if the loss of Bruce Arians on the sideline was an issue. That point was brought up to Todd Bowles throughout the week, and he said this isn't Bruce's team. It's his team. Now you're staring at a 3-4 record and a game against the Ravens in 4 days, and it's time to ask again, is coaching an issue? Jonathan Vilma on the broadcast pointed out how easy Byron Leftwich was making it on Carolina's defense. He was running out of obvious running formations, passing out of obvious passing formations. A defense as bad as Carolina's turned this allegedly talented Bucs offense into mincemeat. That should never happen with the talent that the Bucs have on the offensive side of the ball. And Father Time, to your point, Viper, has not caught up with Brady. His arm is fine. He can still make all the throws. Evans and Godwin are who they've always been. Cade Otton, yet again, steps up and plays really, really well, becoming another threat on the offensive side of the ball. And Leftwich is in his fourth season of calling this offense, and this is the worst that it's been by a long shot. This is preseason vanilla offense. The Bucs tried and failed twice to get a yard. On 3rd-and-1, they run it right up the gut with Leonard Fournette, and the Carolina defense knew it was coming. There were 9 players in that box. You mean to tell me that calling an audible and a quick slant to Mike Evans or Chris Godwin doesn't get that yard? It absolutely does. But instead, they go for it on 4th down. No risk it, no biscuit, right? Let's toss it to Leonard Fournette and still not gain the 1 yard that you need and turn the ball over on downs. The inability to pick up 1 yard tells you everything you need to know about this football team. They're going to do exactly what you expect them to do in any given situation, and the push up front is not getting, nor will it get any better. If I can call out what they're doing based on how they line up, what do you think seasoned NFL coaches and NFL players can do? It's time that Leftwich and Bowles have a come to Jesus moment, whether that's with the ownership or Jason Light or Bruce Arians or Tom Brady or a combination of all of them. Because something has to change. For 7 weeks, it's been the same thing over and over and over again. And they've gotten away with it in 3 of those 7 weeks, thanks in large part to how the defense played earlier in the year. But now they're not getting those takeaways that they were getting early in the season. Otherwise, why bother playing Brady at all? If this is who this team is going to be, let Brady walk. Let him go. Let him try to, you know, deal with off-field issues and in his personal life. And see what you have in Kyle Trask for the next 10 games. You know, instead, you're going to continue to be inept on the offensive side of the ball for the rest of the season. You're going to cost yourself the ability to take advantage of a deep quarterback draft class. Right now, this Buccaneers team isn't just not a Super Bowl contender. They're not even a playoff caliber team. And there's plenty of blame, once again, to go around. It starts up front. It starts with how much worse this offensive line is without Ryan Jensen and without Ali Marpet. That's affecting Brady's ability to play his game. That's affecting Leonard Fournette's ability to run the ball. It's affecting everything. And if you don't trust your offensive line enough to call a decent game, then the problems are going to go beyond this season. But something has to change within this franchise, and it has to happen quickly. The Bucs take on the Baltimore Ravens in 4 days. And they're going to get boat raced if this offense can't get it together. One last quick little look in the chat. Viper, James, you sound like Chicken Little. Remember 2020. This isn't 2020, Viper. This isn't 2020. Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown are not walking in that door. Ali Marpet is not walking in that door. At least in 2020, we saw what the offense was capable of. We haven't seen that one time this season. And it's time to be concerned. And you have a secondary now without Carlton Davis, without Sean Murphy Bunting, without Logan Ryan, without Antoine Winfield Jr. You don't have Ndamukong Suh. You don't have Jason Pierre-Paul. This is not an apples-to-apples comparison to 2020. This is a different team, a different staff, and things are going wrong. And it's okay to call it out. And when things are going well, we'll praise who deserves to be praised. But right now, nothing is going right for this team. It's not 2020. We got Amaz Zement 717. This is scary because it may be worse once Brady leaves. Maybe they should let him go so we can move on. This is what I would have expected out of this football team if Brady had stayed retired. If Blaine Gabbert was your starter, if Kyle Trask was your starter, this is the kind of offense I would have expected. Not with number 12 under center. All right. Finally, Tab in the chat says predictable. Yeah, everything's predictable about this team. Everything. With that, I am going to get out of here. I will be back with a full episode later on. That's going to drop both on YouTube and on your podcatchers in the morning, not later tonight. So we're going to give this one a little bit of time to breathe, people to jump in, post their thoughts in the chat. But we will have a full episode about this game coming up later. If you want to give your thoughts via voicemail, of course, you can give us a call at 813-444-5841. Check out everything I'm doing over at BucksNation.com. Check out David over at BucksGameDay.com. And, of course, follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, at DHarrison82. Hope you all have a great rest of your Sunday. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire the cannons. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.